Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stage Right, the show that looks at the lack of conservative voices in theater and asks, why? With your host, Rocky Benisher.
Where has he been? Where have I been? Has anybody seen me? I have been among the missing, apparently. Yeah, I've been sporadic lately, folks, and I'm hoping that will all change in a few weeks. This is Rocky Benisher, and I'm welcoming you to another installment of Stage Right. We are the show that's here every Sunday, in theory, every Sunday from 1:30 to 2 p.m., and we are looking for the conservative voice in theater and in the arts in general. It's tough to find, but we do find the conservative voice every once in a while. That's why we have people on the show that we interview who are conservative-minded playwrights and thinkers. But I've been among the missing, I know, because I've just had a lot of family things to take care of. It's the end of the school year. You know, I do have kids in high school and college and end of the year. There's always a lot of things you have to attend, especially when one or more of those children are graduating. Plus, I'm also a teacher. I'm finishing up a semester and just lots of stuff to take care of. And I was trying to get everything done before I go on vacation. And my vacation starts on Thursday, so I will not be back until July 12th will be my next show. So I'm giving you that warning. I'm letting you know, folks, so that for the next couple of Sundays at 1:30, you know, don't rush the spouse or the kids out of the house so you can have time alone to listen to this show. You don't have to do that, okay? You don't have to burn the lunch because you want to get everything done and the dishes cleaned by the time 1:30 rolls around Eastern time so you can listen to this show. You don't have to do that for the next 2 weeks. You don't have to worry about it. But I do urge you to go into Blog Talk Radio, their site, and listen to my archive. There's all of my shows there, including the early ones where I didn't know how to figure out the opening music. There's every show that I have, and you could go over and listen to some of the great moments of Stage Right. Interviews with David Marcus, interviews with Cara Bluen, and lots of Hank Kimmel last week's with Don Milne. Lots and lots of people who have come on this show so far. We're heading headfirst into our one-year anniversary, and we'll have a very special show at that time. Hey, if you want to call in, we're at 347-884-9659. That's 347-884-9659, or you could write to me at StageRightAudio1. It's all one word. StageRightAudio1, that's the numeral 1, at gmail.com. I'd also like to remind you that we are, as always, supported by our friends at Xander Business Group. Xander are the people who provide social media monitoring and online risk assessments for your child's online presence. I don't have to keep giving you example after example, do I, of the way that young people and even people, quote-unquote, professional people are exposed by the stupid things that they put on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, and Shudder whatever. I shudder to think of it. So there's so much that's put out there, and the idea that you have any kind of privacy is pretty much erased in this day and age. But the internet never forgets, folks, and it's even more important now for parents to take a proactive role in protecting their child's safety as well as online reputation. So you'll want to contact Xander Business Group for more information. You could reach them at 760-865-9614 or, of course, by emailing them at info, at Xander Business Group. That's all one word, and Xander is spelled with an X. Yes, it does. Yes, it is. XanderBusinessGroup.com. Also throwing a word out there for our friends at the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance out on Facebook. You should be going to that site, you should be joining that group, and you should be reading the stuff that they post because it's really good and it embraces the kinds of things we talk about here. We're a big supporter of the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance out on Facebook. All right, To get things started today, we all know what today is. Today is June 21st, 2015, and therefore we want to wish a very special Father's Day, happy Father's Day out there to all the dads. So here's my little tribute, quick tribute to all the dads out there. See if you recognize this popular tune and singer.
Happy Father's Day, happy Father's Day. I am your son, I am a runaway. Call me a bastard, call me a bitch. You are made of plastic, you are filthy rich. La 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 la
la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la. Okay, enough of that. Who didn't recognize David Peel and the Lower East Side from the album Have a Marijuana? I was looking for a heartfelt Father's Day tribute by someone who, I think, even though he recorded this in about 1968, shares many of the quote-unquote progressive and left-wing thoughts that we see in 2015. So happy Father's Day to David Peel, his father, who must be, if he's still alive, mighty ashamed of his son, probably rolling in his grave now. But remember, that's what you should do, folks. Go over to those dads who loved you and nurtured you and say, you are a bastard and a bitch, and you are filthy rich, as if that made a difference, as if it matters. So is David Peel on the money he made on a stupid album like that. But truthfully, though, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. I am one, and proud to be, and I wish you all a wonderful day with your children, and with any luck, these are children that you have reared and nurtured and not just provided sperm for and said, hey, I'm a dad too. Okay, we're looking at true, real fathers here and how important it is for a child to have both a father and a mother, and that might mean one of each sex. But I don't want to say anything too subversive here, folks. All right, so I'm on vacation until July 10th. I'll be back on July 12th. So what I thought we'd do today is just go over some, kind of tie some loose ends together and look at some of the things that we had been talking about on previous shows. Because, you know, we had this arc about David Mamet, and I'm really not done with David Mamet because I've got more that I'd like to plan to do about David Mamet and actually talk about his plays and not just his philosophy. We did look at a number of passages in The Secret Knowledge by David Mamet. So that's a rather important arc I'd like to kind of veer toward again. And then we have the other arc that I started kind of in the middle of the David Mamet conversation, which was about my seeing a show that was an LGBT-based show called Yank. And it was a musical. And what did I, as a conservative supporter of theater, how did I feel about that? And we'll start with that because, as you may have remembered from the show a few weeks ago, I didn't feel too good. I wasn't able to really feel the sense of importance of this LGBT-based play while I watched two guys make it out on stage. It offended me. It upset me. But the problem is, do I have a right to be offended? And I know that's a silly question, but there are going to be people who say, no, of course you don't have a right to be offended because you're a white male and you're straight. You have no right to be offended at anything because you hold the power. Even though we see studies that say that we're probably going to be in the minority within the next 50 to 75 years, we will still be told we have the power. See, we will not have the same rights, or alleged rights, that those who claim to be in the minority today have. When we, white males, are in the minority, we won't have those rights. Sorry if that sounds like something the guy who went up and shut up church in wherever he was, South Carolina. Please don't put anything we say on this show on the lines of that imbecile. And as a Jew, he'd hate me too, let's face it. So, yes, we are not supportive of that. People shut up while peacefully praying, please. At any rate, so how? Not only was I, troubled by the fact that I don't want to see this kind of thing, but how do I balance that with supporting theater? So I put that question out on Facebook, and I started to read some responses, and I'd like to continue to do that. This is from a group called Exploiting the Facts About Liberals. That's out there on Facebook, Exploiting the Facts About Liberals. So from a couple of weeks ago, Bob said, let them have their concerts. You're not forced to attend, so who cares? Yes, that is true. I'm not forced to attend, but it's difficult for me to accept or to promote theater. See, I want to promote theater in all of its glory. Can I promote this play? I can promote it as a piece of theater, and I want it to be heard. I'm not asking for it to be shut down. By the same token, I personally am troubled by it. So what do I do? Okay, well, maybe nothing. Maybe Bob's got it right. Let them have their concerts, and I'm not forced to attend, so be it. Michael, though, said, to me, it minimizes the story. It overshadows everything. And I guess that's my point. When I walked out of there, all I could think of was that which offended me. And there may have been some legitimate messages that this play had, this musical had, but they kind of escaped me because I don't believe that it is natural for two guys to be making out. I'm sorry. Okay, just my opinion. And here's Mark from Exploiting the Facts About Liberals. I haven't given any last names, but I'm sorry. Bob Watts was the first guy who said let them have their concerts. Michael Edging said it minimizes the story. Here's Mark Sermonaro. He says, if you are conservative, you cannot be offended by this filth, because if we as a conservative put out a manger scene for Christmas, then the left goes apeshit. We have to make a stand against this garbage and filth they shove down our throats. The Christian right is the majority in this country, and we need to express our distaste. Well, that's the whole key, I think. I mean, are we to express our distaste? And in doing so, are we diminishing the role of theater in our society? These are questions I'm not prepared to answer right now, but I think these are things to talk about. Davy Henry says, if I don't want to see it, I don't have to go to the show. Just because I don't enjoy something, why should I deny someone something they enjoy? We all have the right to see or not to see, as long as it does not infringe on other people's rights. And I find that agreeable too. So, but you have to understand, folks, I am not calling for the shutdown of this show. I am calling for, how do I reconcile my support for theater with my distaste for this kind of message? And that's a very difficult thing. And but in no way expect there to be censorship. What I'd like to see is a time in this country where people will say, you know what, this is not good theater, therefore we will not see it, without the fear of having someone else say, well, the reason you don't think it's good theater is because you're a homophobe. We are so, as a people, we are so conflicted, you know, and we're so caught up in the relative truths, or, you know, the truth becomes relative, you know, at what point? I mean, does this really... I'm at a loss for words here. I am truly at a loss for words. I just don't know what to say. I truly don't want to shut down the show. But I would love to get to the point where people say, you know, I'm sorry, this is not something we find entertaining. I'd like a majority of people to do that, because I really feel that people attend these things just to say, we're gonna say it's good because it's something we like. We're going to say it's good because we are in favor of the political points it's making. But it may or may not be good theater. And I didn't particularly think it was great theater. Okay, going on to the Heritage Foundations, another Facebook group. Heritage Foundation says, makes me want to puke, personally. This is Tom Richardson. If someone wants to do this kind of art with no government funding and no requirement that anyone has to see it, for example, school class outings, go for it. That's what the First Amendment is all about. The same holds true of a Muhammad cartoon contest
or a crucifix in urine. Again, this is what the First Amendment is for. So, again, that's a very difficult thing for me because he's talking about piss Christ, a crucifix in urine. And, yes, I guess if the government is not paying for this and I am not, and supporting it in any way, and this is completely a private individual's venture or a group of private individuals, that I really, other than having my own distaste, have no fight against it. But once the government gets involved and supports and subsidizes this kind of quote-unquote art, I think I do have a fight against it. Now, I don't have all the details on Piss Christ right now, what was going on, but I will tell you that the Muhammad cartoon contest, which he brings up by Pam Geller in Texas, that was not sponsored by any government or any government entity or local entity, as far as I know. If I'm wrong, you can let me know. And so, therefore, it's just a private individual in exercising her First Amendment right. And I support that. John Adams, clearly not the founder, says, "You do with your feet the same as you do with a show on TV you don't approve. You change the channel, or in the case of a play, you get up and walk out." Right. Right, you do. Would I feel this way if I felt the play was so well done, well constructed as a play, that I wouldn't want to walk out? Because, you know, a good play, as you all know, a good play will keep you riveted to your seat. Right? And if I cannot get up because I find it so compelling, then it's a good play. And therefore, its homosexual or heterosexual themes are probably not as important. I didn't want to walk out because I wanted to give it a shot. But when I did walk out, I felt, A, this was not a good play, and B, I was kind of disgusted.
Okay.
Another, Tom Richardson then responded to that by saying, "Or don't go in the first place." Steve Nordstrom says, "The First Amendment allows the expression of acceptable ideas and unacceptable ideas."
He's right.
"The same constitution that allows sexual perverts to present plays also allows Christians to present Easter plays. So I totally support the free market of ideas to express itself, but I am not required to personally support or attend every presentation. And that same amendment allows me to openly oppose and or protest such garbage." And, you know, I really think Steve Nordstrom has gotten it totally right. Because I have every right to oppose. I have every right to protest. But the problem is when we say, we do not like this play, we do not like it as a piece of writing, we do not like its messages, its themes, and we don't like to see men making out on stage. When we say that, we are not considered people who are exercising our First Amendment rights. What we are people who are homophobic, racist, conservative, and all those terrible words. So what I guess I'd like to get to the point in this country is where we can protest and make our case and not be told that we are vile, that we are homophobic, that we are haters, because disagreement does not equal hate.
I think my birds in the background are very supportive of that.
Mark Levin's fan club of intelligent thinking women and men. Carol Fisher says, "How about having reviews posted about the performances before you choose to buy a ticket?" That'd be nice, but of course, you know, review. They put my review out there, and I'll be called homophobic and all that, and people will flock to see it. Deborah Clement says, "They have the right. We don't have to pay for tickets and attend any more than we have to watch such programming on television." True. David Garland says, "They have the right, but it should not be funded with tax dollars, and I do not have to attend." Okay. Kathleen Mahaney says, "They may have the right, even though it is very bad taste, but I don't have to see it and will feel like vomiting. Yuck." Vada Neal says, "Is this something kids are allowed to see? If so, then it is wrong in so many ways. That's as bad as letting them watch porn, in my opinion." Erling Clinton says, distasteful performances have a right to exist, and I have a right not to go to them. I also have a right to stand outside a theater and tell people what they are about to see. And that's that brings back a memory, and I think I may have mentioned that on this show, but years and years ago, I went to see a production at a small community college in New York of Sister Mary Ignatius Explains It All for You. And there was one lone man out there with an American flag protesting the play. Do not go to see this anti-Catholic, this anti-American, whatever it is, play. And I remember the director of the play was a friend of mine saying, ha, 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 look at that moron, right? But were we to put on a protest, or were we to put on a play that was against, say, homosexual, same-sex marriage, let's just say, I'm just saying, we would have tens of thousands of people. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but we'd have a number of people out there protesting about the play. We'd be blackballed, and we'd be told not to go see it. We might even be prevented from getting into the theater, which this guy with the flag was not doing. And then the left will take these protesters very, very seriously. These are the real people. These are the real Americans. We have a ridiculous double standard. I guess that's why I have this problem when I see a play like this. Let's see. Betty Yo said, I think it's disgusting. And Kathy Miller said, you walk out, never stay. It fuels the fire. It's the shock factor at work. Anything goes. It's in your face at every turn. This went on in the Roman times, and you see how that turned out. Okay. Finally, we've got some wonderful quotes from our friends at the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance. I saved the best for last. Lots of things going on here. Lots and lots of quotes. So, Christopher Bunn says, free speech must be preserved, but it doesn't mean I'm going to buy a ticket to see it. I've seen my share of pointless nihilistic crap on stage and screen. I'm done with that, but I affirm their freedom to be stupid, offensive, atonal, etc. And, you know, here's where I think we, as conservatives, we on the right, have it correct. Because we are not, nobody here is saying, shut it down. Silence it. But that's what the left says about us. Silence it. If I ever get to do my all-white Raisin in the Sun, I'm telling you, people are going to ask that it be shut down. Not, don't go see it. It will be shut down. They will protest. They will interrupt. They will do whatever it is. Who's really got a grip on the First Amendment? Us or them? And as I've told you on a previous show, I am in the works planning a conservative theater festival here in Columbus, Ohio. What will the backlash be to that? Okay. Mark D. Steele says, why is there a complex? You seem to present a false dilemma between free market and free speech. The performances do not have to be protected, but the right of people to put on such performances does. If nobody shows up, they will not have the money to put on the performance. Okay? Ava Armstrong says, I'm not a fan of watching stuff that makes me squeamish. That includes most shows lately on TV and cable. It's really difficult to find good shows. When I do, they get canceled. That's why I read so much. Matt Landry says, I balance my distaste for the material with their right to produce it by refusing to attend or pay for it, while not coming after them with weapons, whether my own or those of the state. Simple. Yep, I think that's what conservatives are to do, right? We don't believe that the power of the state is such that it should even have a say in this, and we don't want the state to pay for it, right? All right. Alan Goodner, I absolutely despised Rent. Saw it on Broadway as part of a high school trip. I still want those hours of my life back. That said, I don't think offended is the right word unless you refer to my dramatic sense being offended. And if you go to an LGBT-themed production, you pay your money, you take your chances. Okay? Robert Bidinotto said, you ask, should we let the free market of ideas approve or disapprove of such performances, or must they be protected even if they offend many? This is a false logical alternative, as Mark Steele notes. If protected, you mean by the First Amendment, requires us to support some of its performances? No, it doesn't. The free market and freedom of speech are both part of the same freedom, the freedom of the individual to act peacefully without interference and in accordance with his own values and interests, the freedom of individuals to put on artistic performances on private property and not at taxpayer expense may not be abridged. That's the First Amendment. At the same time, those individuals have no right to abridge my freedom to ignore them, and they can't compel me to attend their performances. That's the free market. There is no conflict of interests here as long as no one proclaims an interest in compelling the participation or support of others in his own activities. That is where conflict arises. Well, Robert Bidinato, I thank you for clarifying that. Perhaps I didn't put my question as succinctly or as clearly as possible, but I think you're right. Okay. Megan Fox says, I just don't like being tricked. I felt that way several years ago in the movie with Jennifer Aniston and her gay best friend in The Object of My Affection. It looked like a chick flick and turned out to be a heavily gay film with lots of men in bed together, etc. The advertising for the film did not depict this theme. The whole crowd was audibly groaning with discomfort. It is that sort of thing I find offensive. Not that it exists, but that they actively fooled people who wouldn't normally buy tickets into buying tickets. If I had known, I wouldn't have seen it. That doesn't mean it shouldn't exist. They just shouldn't have tricked their audience. It's hard for me to say I disagree with any of this. Okay, so I think we have to, you know, after all this, and I do want to talk a few minutes about David Mamet. I think we have to come down with the conclusion that, yes, plays like Yank have a right to exist. No question. Yes, plays like Yank should not be silenced. Yes, they should not be supported by government funds, though, by public funds. They should be supported only by private funds. Okay. And finally, will the other side, will the left, embrace something that they may find offensive, inexplicable as it may be, offensive? Will they simply say, as we are, you have a right to exist, but I'm not going to patronize it? Or are they going to say, shut it down? That's the big test I'm looking to see, whether we get some conservative voices heard in theater out here in Columbus, Ohio. The more details that I get, the more I will pass them on, but that's what we're looking to do. Okay, we can always take a look at that, but in the 2.5 minutes remaining, I want to start looking at something about David Mamet. And this is from our friend David Marcus, who writes for blogs, among other places, for The Federalist, writes articles for The Federalist, which is a terrific online newsletter. And in this is something he wrote last year. It's called Conservative Playwright David Mamet Isn't Going Anywhere. So in 2 minutes, let's see what we can take from Mr. Marcus. He says, back in 2008, after playwright David Mamet outed himself as a conservative, Jonah Goldberg made the following prediction, and we looked at this on our show. Already critics are saying his work is slipping. Soon they will not say his work was never that great to begin with. 6 years on, it's not entirely clear whether Goldberg was right. While Mamet does tend to dominate conversations about overrated playwrights, he is still quite popular, and his new play, China Doll, will open on Broadway next year, starring Al Pacino. Meanwhile, across the pond, Lindsay Lohan is starring in Feed the Plow, in the role originally played by Madonna. I saw that production with Madonna. Yeah, she was in it. In fact, since 2008, Mamet has had 8 Broadway productions, not including the upcoming one. It is a stunning number, compared with the 3 productions of Tom Stoppard, 2 of August Wilson, 1 of Stephen Adley, Gerges, and John Patrick Shanley, and 0 of Tony Kushner. And I'll have to say, that at least is something to support. And running somewhat counter to Goldberg's premise, the 9 total Broadway productions since 2008 are more than Mamet had in the previous 20 years. By the statistical standards of the Great White Way, Mamet remains the most powerful playwright force in the world. All right, so we'll leave it at that because I only have seconds. I will read more about this. Folks, I am going to be back. Stage Right is going nowhere. I am going somewhere. I'm on vacation, but I will be coming back on July the 12th. I will be back here in the studio on July 12th, and we'll pick this up, and we'll have more about David Mamet, and we'll have more about his plays, and we'll have more about conservative theater, and we'll have more about the conservative theater festival that I want to do here in Columbus and how far we get with that. So in the meantime, go to my archive and listen to the past shows. I will say that I hope you all have a pleasant next couple of weeks. Aloha, and we are now exiting Stage Right.